The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a church that had a problem. They had bats up in the belfry, up in the bell tower. And you know what bats do when you have a lot of bats? They make a mess. So there was bat stuff all over the place. And the property and grounds committee got together, and the sexton and the custodian, and they all had different ideas on how to get rid of the bat problem. So they started off treating it like any pest or rodent, and they started off with pesticides and poisons, and the bats seemed to be resistant. So then someone had an idea, did some research, looked on Google, and said, well, you know, bats use echolocation. Let's use some sound waves and mess up these bats. So they put in all these transmitters, and they had the sound waves going, but the bats were resilient, didn't affect them at all. They even tried to smoke them out. They had burned a whole bunch of leaves, and they were smoking the whole area, and the bats seemed to be fine with that. Frustrated, they had their hands in their head, and just about that time, the pastor walked on by and said, what's the matter? Why the long faces? And they said, well, we tried everything. We can't get rid of the bats, and they're making a terrible mess. With that, the pastor said, no problem. I got this. He took his Bible, and he walked over with a little thing of water, and he started to preach to those bats. And after a little while, those bats came down, and he baptized those bats. And then after that, he blessed them and confirmed them, and they flew out of the belfry, and they haven't been seen in the church since. How was that, Paul? So, this is Confirmation Sunday, right? And I'm so proud of our confirmants. I really am. Your accomplishments here, your understanding of the gospel, of God's grace, of the free gift, which is so ridiculous that we receive, you get it. So I do not think you're going to be like those bats that are going to fly away. But brothers and sisters, the church has a problem. I'm not just talking about Good Shepherd. I'm talking about the church of Christendom in this country, in the world. It has a problem. It has a problem because there are often empty seats, and many people are confirmed and they take off, and they only come once in a while when it's a special event. We got to ask ourselves the question, why? Why is that? Well, I think there's a couple reasons for that. You see, the tactics of the church used to be, we used to scare people into attendance. If you don't come, you will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, you better come, you better punch your ticket, you better be here so that when the day comes and you're before the Lord, you're going to be okay. But you know, that was always a misuse of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a sin the church really needs to repent from. Because Jesus' gospel, the one that he shares, is a gospel of love and forgiveness and grace. It is ridiculous. And it's exactly that ridiculous message of forgiveness and grace that got our Lord Jesus killed. Can't have someone messing up the system of coercion and even oppression, which fills the coffers and fills the pews. No, we can't talk about the free grace. After all, if people understood that they were really liberated, really free by the grace of God, we'd never see them. We have to control them. That's never what Jesus preached. Jesus talked about forgiveness, and he laid down his life so that we could be free. And that's the gospel, the only gospel that we can preach and teach. So then what is the problem? If that's what we teach and preach here, and we do, then what's the problem? Why is the church not full? I'll tell you why. And this is the truth. The truth is, we're not honest about our sin. I know we start off the worship service by confessing our sin, hearing God's words of forgiveness. That feels great. But we're really not honest because we don't think we're that bad, really. After all, what do we need to be forgiven for? And if we are not that bad and we don't need to be forgiven, therefore, maybe we don't need the grace that Jesus offers either. But in the still of the night, or when your heart starts to beat irregularly, or when your doctor calls, or when you have that close call in your car, or when someone that's close to you dies, well, then we sit up and we pay attention. And then we start listening a little bit more about that message of grace and forgiveness. And we also admit that we are in need of that grace all the time. Not just once in a while, not just on a special occasion, but every single day of our lives. Our confirmants know that, each and every one of them. They proclaim that. They know that it's by grace that they have life. Don't ever forget that. The world needs you to not only embrace it, but to share it. And I know you will. Just like you shared your faith statements to our church council, I know your life will be translated into a faith statement that you will embody to the world. And for that, I and Dr. Dawn are very proud. But so is this entire church, the council, and every single member. So in the first reading today, we hear about this miracle, and this miracle happens on Pentecost. And what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost is a word that means 50 days, right? It's 50 days after Passover. It was the ancient festival of weeks where people from all over Judea and from Mesopotamia, Pamphylia, and all those other places that Richard Benson read flawlessly, by the way. Thank you very much, Rich. All those places, they came to Jerusalem, and they came to Jerusalem so that they could have a party. But if you've ever traveled somewhere, you ever been in a foreign land where people speak a different language, right? And then all of a sudden, if somebody is speaking English, your mother tongue, or if your mother tongue isn't English, if they speak your language and you're in a foreign country, you turn your head around right away. It gets your attention because you're like, somebody I can talk to. Takumi's going, absolutely, right? Takumi was in the library the other day. Somebody was speaking Japanese. His head spun around. He goes, oh, I found another Japanese person, right? It's so true. And when I was in Japan, I had the same experience over and over again. So the miracle of Pentecost is that when the people, the disciples, the followers of Jesus were gathered like we are in a room, all of a sudden there was a sound of a rush of a violent wind and tongues as of fire descended from heaven and landed on each one of them. That's enough. But that's not it. They all of a sudden began to speak in languages that they did not study, that they did not know. And in the languages, it's what they said that was heard by these people from all these other countries in their native language. They heard the good news about God through Jesus Christ. They heard about the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. At the end of the great speech that Peter gives, the people that heard this good news, they didn't know what to do with it, and they said, well, what do we do? That was their question. And that should be our question here today. What should we do? And it really goes back to what I said before, acknowledging who we are. That we are sinful creatures, yes, no doubt about it. And that we need that grace that Jesus Christ died to give us every single day. And we need it more than we want to admit. You know, years ago when homesteaders went across the Great Plains states and they started to settle the West, there's a story, true story, about one of these covered wagon kind of trains of people that were progressing through one of the middle states. I'm not sure which one. And all of a sudden, they saw smoke in the distance. They saw a lot of smoke. And as they came closer, they realized it was a wall of fire. The grass that had become very dry in the summer months now was burning, and the fire was heading toward them at a rapid pace. The wind was in their face, and here came the flames. They knew that it was at least a day's journey backwards to the river that they had crossed, and they knew they would never outrun it, never be able to get back over that river. So they said, "What can we do? What should we do?" And one person said, "I have an idea." And behind him, he turned around and he lit the grass on fire behind them. And the flames now started to go in that opposite direction behind them because the wind was blowing. Yes, the flames were still coming toward them, but behind them, all the grass was being consumed. As soon as there was enough grass consumed behind them, the man ordered everybody to go back onto where the burnt grass was and leave a good distance. And the little boy said, "Are we going to be safe here?" And the man said, "Fire won't come where fire has been. Fire won't come where fire has been." And they were safe. Brothers and sisters, the hellfires have already burned. They have burned for Jesus. All of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our iniquity, all of our everything, all of our ugliness, it was piled onto that cross with our Lord, and there it burned. And when we stop with our fake piety and our false claims of greatness, and we drop it all, and when we just hold on to that gift of forgiveness on the cross, and we stand with Jesus, we're standing on ground which cannot burn. We are safe, and we are with the Lord. Leo Tolstoy, a great storyteller, he had a metaphor for life. And he tells a story about a traveler that was going through the woods. And as he's going through the woods, he's pursued by a wild beast. And the wild beast is gaining on him and gaining on him and gaining on him. And finally, it's about to get him, and he dives into a well. But as he's falling down the well, he sees another beast, a dragon, waiting with its mouth open to consume him. And he reaches out and he grabs a twig and he's holding on to the side of the wall. And two mice, a black and a white one, come out and start nibbling on that little twig. And he realizes it's a matter of time. He either goes up and he's consumed, or he goes down and he's consumed. And what Tolstoy said was, that is the metaphor for life. And he said, without faith, without understanding that God has a plan for your life, we're just hanging on a twig on the wall waiting to die. But if we have faith, and if we understand that God has a plan for us, and not only a plan, but has power for us and talents for us that we could use in God's service to serve the world and a neighbor in need, and to make a difference, not because we're ever going to create heaven on earth, but because that's what it's like to be faithful in the Lord. Well, then, brothers and sisters, we are alive. And we have no fear of the beast below or the beast above or the twig that we're grasping onto, because we know our Lord holds onto us with both hands. So, my confirmants, never forget that you're in God's hands. Never forget the extraordinary purpose that God has for your life, which will continue to be revealed over the years. Never forget that you have talents and treasures inside of you that God will hone and enable you also to perfect in service, so that your neighbor may be fed and all the world can hear the good news that's so good that people don't want to believe it. But it's so good that it's the only way to live. Don't forsake your gifts, brothers and sisters.